You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 211. And today, I've got an exciting guest for you who's going to show you how to make more money in your small business. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hi there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your show host, Melanie Benson, authority amplifier for expertpreneurs across the globe. And today I have a really unique guest, someone who I've been getting to know over the year. And wow, I can just say, wow, this conversation really blew my mind. And I've been around a long time, so I've had a lot of amazing conversations. This was so intriguing and so insightful, so powerful. I couldn't wait to share it with you. I actually moved it up a little in the sequencing because we're airing this episode at a time where we're closing out a year, we're moving into a new year, and these are the times we really want to be looking at our numbers. Our numbers don't lie. Our numbers tell us a very powerful story about where we need to focus our time and energy. Now, my guest today is going to talk us through what he's learned having been a CFO for multiple multi-million dollar businesses and how we can translate that into any size business that we run, whether we're just getting started or we're farther along, we've got a six or seven figure business. These are valuable techniques you're going to learn. So I highly recommend getting a notepad. You're going to want to take some notes on this one. I also want to share a free resource that I have that I think complements this very well. And that is how to ramp up revenue when you need it the most. I think one of the things that happens is oftentimes we're caught off guard in our business and we don't have the awareness that something isn't going to work. I certainly had that happen in 2020. I had a very big struggle with something. It worked well once and then it didn't work the second time. Of course, we were dealing with some bizarre market conditions, but I had to pull one of the tools from my Revenue Rush Toolkit out and use it. And it worked brilliantly. It helped me fill a cash flow gap that I had not expected. And I know this happens all the time. So if you would like to get your hands on my toolkit, it's at yourrevenuerush.com. It's absolutely free right now. Download it, review the 10 proven strategies in this toolkit, and then pick one to try right now or next time you end up with a cash flow gap you weren't expecting. Now, let's get into today's episode. Well, welcome back, Amplifiers. I hope you are ready to make more money. I've got a guest here today who's going to share with us the business owner's five-step plan for bringing home more cash. I am so excited to introduce you to our guest today. His name is Jeff Prager. He's co-founder of the CFO Project and has one purpose: to help you make more money. Jeff's been a CPA for over 40 years, so he understands all the confusing numbers stuff. He's also an author, a speaker, and a lifelong entrepreneur, not just a paper pusher, including he's been a former CEO or CFO of several successful multi-million dollar companies. Like, he was one of the founders of the Ashworth Golf Clothing Company, the CFO, partner of a large land development company. He was the owner of Strauss Homes, which was once rated as the second largest privately home builder in Colorado, and in the top 100 privately owned companies of Colorado. And Jeff has been helping businesses become stronger over many years of entrepreneurship and business development. I'm so excited to bring Jeff here today because we've had some behind the scenes conversations. And one of the things I know is he's great at simplifying the numbers and giving you a clear roadmap to make more money. Jeff, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to continue that conversation we were having a couple of weeks ago.
We have some great conversations, don't we, Melanie?
Yeah. I'm so lucky. I feel like I have this amazing opportunity to talk to the most brilliant minds. And I always feel so selfish. It's like, oh, how can I keep this to myself? I have to bring this person on the podcast and we have to have this conversation in a bigger way. And particularly when it comes to what you're doing, Jeff, you are solving a problem that so many entrepreneurs, so many business owners struggle with. And so why don't we start with that? Like, what are you seeing as this core problem that so many entrepreneurs are struggling with around bringing home more cash?
Well, the whole idea is they're being misled by the financial community. And I really firmly believe this. As a retired CPA, I still lecture to CPAs and tell them they're full of baloney. And the reason is financial statements aren't written for business owners. And that was one of my ahas when I went out of public accounting and went into the private sector and owned my own companies, is that those financial statements weren't helping me at all. They were really confusing. And those are written for investors and bankers, not for business owners. As a business owners, we have it quite simple. It's how much cash is coming in, how much cash is going out. And we want more cash coming in than going out. It's really that simple. And yet financial statements don't tell us that story. And as you go forward, not only should you follow that, but you should project or think about how much is going to come in and go out a week from now, a month from now, a quarter from now, a year from now, and 5 years from now. And here's the funny part. Once you do it, it's very, very simple to do. A lot of people think that we financial people are geniuses. Quite the contrary. The best we could do as a finance guy is third grade math, addition, subtraction, division, and multiplication. So that's why I think it's so misleading, is that, and why people don't look at their financials. Their tax accountants are telling them how much they could save, but are making lousy decisions on how to invest the money in your own business.
I love that idea that we're investing in our business rather than spending money. It's one of the big distinctions I've always made, is, and it's a real mindset shift, I think, to recognize that we can invest in our business growth. We're not just spending money, and it's a huge difference in the way we approach it.
Well, if you think about the stock market, that's what you're investing in, is somebody else's business. But I have found the biggest wealth creator for most people is through their own business, but we don't look at our own business as an investment, and that's to our detriment. But if you put a dollar into the stock market, would you be happy if you got 87 cents back? The answer is obviously no, but why would you do it with your own business? People don't think of their business as their investment.
I would agree. And for some people, they think of it as a money pit. It's like lots of money going down the drain, not a lot of money coming back. So I am really, I'm getting very intrigued about how we're going to help people flip that around today and look at some new ways. And, you know, I think one of the things that might be really helpful is to explore some of the signs or maybe some of the symptoms that people are experiencing, in particular business owners, that, you know, maybe their cash flow is a little upside down instead of right side up.
Well, the obvious symptoms are, hey, you know, you got payroll coming up, you don't know how you're going to make it. Or when the bills come in at the first of the month, you go, oh my God, how am I going to pay those? So saying, how do I make that into a stronger investment? That's the simple stuff. Or you're worried about paying your vendors, or you're worried about getting your receipts. But what I found, and only because I've been there, do not kid yourself, every one of us has been there, is what I call the darker side of running a business. Your mood swings. You're not paying attention to your spouse, your family, your friends. You're on a constant roller coaster. You're always worried. You can't concentrate. When it starts affecting you personally, that's when you get into that bad place. And everybody thinks owning a business is a picnic. I got to be honest with you. The only time I knew I was successful in a business is after I got rid of it. because anything can happen at any time. And it's usually the things that you never, ever thought about. And so those are good signs that you're not managing your business correctly.
I had a realization around this myself, several of them over the 20 years I've been in business, but one in particular, I remember I had a client who signed up to work with me. She lived in another country and was making seven figures. It was very verbal about her seven-figure business. But when we started to work together, I asked her, like, what is the biggest problem you want me to help you solve? She goes, I need you to help me become profitable. She goes, I can't figure out what is happening with my money. And as we dug into it, I quickly realized she knew how to make money. She didn't know how to grow money. So she was spending $1.4 million to make $1.1 million. And I would assume you've seen a lot of that over the years. And that might be one of the, I guess, symptoms or maybe even a mistake, because people don't really know how to navigate like what they're making, what they're spending to make the goal, the financial goal.
So yeah, we've been there. I've been there. And that's how I developed my system, is when I was there, and we could talk about that later. But where you're going is, at first, when we open our business, we're very concerned with top line growth. What that means is the amount of sales you have. Okay. Top line on your income statement is revenue, not cash, revenue. Then you get a little smarter and you start looking at net profit. And that's where your accountant is steering you. And that's my biggest problem with the accounting community, is we look at profit. But profit and cash are two different words, okay? When you have profit, you still got to fund your receivables, fund your inventory, buy assets, pay off debt, and take owner withdrawals and pay taxes. That's not in your profit and loss statement. That's on your balance sheet. And most accountants can't even explain that relationship because financial statements aren't written for us, as I said earlier. So we're leaking cash, we're hemorrhaging cash, but we're making a profit and or top line growth, which is exactly where you were with your client. They didn't even graduate to step two, focusing on net profit. But the final step to be a great company and provide the lifestyle you want, and that's defined by you, is how much cash you keep at the end of the day. It's that simple. We've complicated everything. It just defies logic. So that's my two cents on that, Melanie.
A common problem, I assume.
Very common. Very common. And it's not just small companies, it's big companies.
Of course. Well, you know, we see that right now with the kind of the pandemic mess, and a lot of the mess is because we have been so focused on that top line revenue. And, you know, we call them vanity numbers or whatever you want to call it, but really understanding these differences, I think, is where, like, if we look at, I talk a lot about, how do we create your own economy? How do you create your own wealth capacity so that you are in control of your destiny? And if you are focused on top line, you won't get there during the tough times. And so,
absolutely not. And you could go further too, Melanie. There are different strategies about money when you're in the boom period versus the bust period. And there is always an economic cycle. We don't know what will cause it, but it's always there. And it happens right around 7 years, give or take three or four. I mean, it's not an exact science, but every business has a cycle. So when things are good, you want to be stashing the cash. When things are bad is when it's in time to invest the cash.
I want you to dig into that a little bit more. I thought you were going to go someplace totally different with that. So can you unpack that a little bit for us?
Well, so my first job out of public accounting, I was a controller of a major home builder. And they were doing things that defied logic that I learned as a CPA. So luckily, I got friendly with one of the three owners, and I said, can you tell me what's going on? And that's when he unpacked this for me. I go, why are you spending so much money on marketing? He goes, this is when we gain market share. When the economy gets good, everybody's fighting for that little market. And they're trying to invent and message themselves at that point in time. The time to get your name known is when no one else can afford to, because it's a lot cheaper to do.
And, got it.
And it's all about market share. It's hard to get market share. Like, try going against Coca-Cola with your soft drink company, or going against Apple with your computer company, or Google with your search engine. It's pretty damn tough. They've already got the name. But in bad times, if those companies were suffering and you were in that market, that's the time to be investing, when the natural instinct is to pull back. It's kind of the contrarian theory, if you think about it.
I think it's brilliant. And it's actually, you know, I've always found that as in the coaching industry, you know, there's a lot of really, really big, very wealthy people who their marketing just conquers the messaging sound waves. But in times like this, where we're in a pandemic and not everybody's investing in, you know, a lot of the marketing strategies, this is the time, like you're talking about, like things are not as great. This is a time to carve out that message and to really get in front of, you know, and invest more in your growth, because you can actually get market traction that you can't get in the boom times, as you're saying. So that is a brilliant, brilliant insight.
Thank you. And thank you for unpacking what I said so nicely. but that's what you're great at, Melanie, is messaging.
Thank you. Well, you know, we have a lot of synergy in what we do, so I get you.
I'm very creative with numbers, but not near as creative with words.
Well, you know, it's funny. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. We were talking about this as we were getting on, and, you know, you and I have been getting to know each other a little bit over the last few weeks, and you know, you paid me a great compliment, and I was very grateful about my gift with messaging. Talk about what that's been like for you, because you are great with numbers and you do understand that it is your superpower, but you've also run many, or you've been a part of many really successful companies. So tell us a little bit about your journey and, you know, what your superpower is and maybe what it's not.
Well, you've asked me two questions there, whether you know it or not. The first is, let's deal with messaging, okay? People don't think of us CPAs as creative people, but at a certain level, we're the people that take you into the future. That's what a CFO does, takes you into the future. So I don't do bookkeeping. I don't do tax returns. I never have, by the way. I've always been focused on growth. I've been very, very blessed, if you will, that my career path has led me to doing projections and growing companies and stuff like that. And even though I was considered an expert at partnership and corporate taxation, my true love was bringing the companies into the future. And that was just one of my vehicles or tools. But one of my problems is that, as creative as I am in understanding numbers and how to interpret them and what to do about them, especially when you don't like them, I'm really creative there. But putting it in words or writing, as soon as you put a pencil and blank sheet of paper in front of me, I am dead meat. I am. I can't do it. I don't know what it is, but I don't have that gift of writing. Now, writing in numbers, like I could program in Excel as fast as some people can type. That I could do. But messaging is my kryptonite. And that's why that gets to something we were talking about. You can't build your own company by yourself. My superpower is numbers and knowing how to interpret them and what to do about them. But that leaves me no creativity, gray matter, if you will, for writing good copy and getting my message out there. And that's where people like you are phenomenal, because that's your superpower. And one of the things I learned, you know, everybody talks about my successes. It wasn't always that way. Trust me, I have as many failures as I do successes, maybe even more. But here's what I did learn. All my successes had partners. Now, that could be literally legal partners or people that I rely on to do the things I'm weak at. And that's been the secret to my success, is learning at a fairly young age that you can't do it all yourself. And so there are actually two things. You can't do it all yourself. There are just too many hats when you run your own business. So make sure you get the best at, you know, everybody goes for the cheapest. Don't do it. Go for the best. And if you can get them at a discount price, that's even better. But go for the people with a proven track record. It's like when people hire CFOs, don't get the kid who's just out of college. They don't have the experience yet. You need that wisdom that comes with trial and error. So a couple of things is get people who have been there, done that to consult with you, not people who are trying to get there. I get really upset with all the coaches out there who want to manage your millions of dollars and have never, and they're gambling with your financial future and your money with unproven concepts. So I think that's one of the bigger lessons I learned is I'm not messaging. I'm wasting my time. I get frustrated doing it, just like most people get frustrated looking at their financials. To me, I can look at it in 5 minutes and know exactly where you are. Other people, they can look at it for 3 months and not have a clue what they're saying. It's just what we learn.
You just dropped some great value bombs there. And one of the things I just heard, and I want to bring this to the forefront because I think people misunderstand how to grow. Like this idea of bootstrapping gets very seductive for people because so many people are starting businesses with no cash, trying to make it their cash cow. And what you just said is this so true, is if you want to have a successful business, you have to invest in the people who do the things well that you don't do. Otherwise, you just become a bottleneck. You just kind of, it's almost like you spin in this little Ferris wheel and you never get off because you have to have all the wheels on the bus moving at the same time to really create acceleration. Did I capture that properly?
Yeah, but you actually brought up something else. The entrepreneur, once you get the company to a certain size, the entrepreneur, the visionary, becomes the bottleneck in the business, and it's why it can't grow from six figures to seven, seven to eight, eight to nine, nine to 10. And it's really a funny thing, but there's a certain point where, like my hero is Dave Thomas of Wendy's. Why? Because he was a hamburger flipper and he knew it. So he got a great big executive team together, brought the company, made it really big. But if you look in the commercials, what's he doing? He's flipping hamburgers. That was his love. And so you've got to remember that as you're building a business, you can't wear all the hats. You've got to invest in the right people and you got to get people who have been there and done that. So yes, otherwise you are the bottleneck.
Well, I want to dig a little deeper into something you mentioned a few minutes ago about your superpower of numbers and you can program an Excel spreadsheet like nobody's business. You know, I know you've been working on some really extraordinary tools, and I believe these are part of your five-step plan to help entrepreneurs bring home more cash. Tell us a little bit about what are some of the practices that we are not doing well that are causing us, and maybe these are mistakes that you would see them as, but that are causing us to have some of these consistent cash flow problems. And what should we be doing instead?
Well, first of all, I already mentioned two of the biggest mistakes, focusing on top line growth and bottom line growth versus cash flow. Okay. But we have a five-step process and everyone should be doing this. Number one is, of course, know where you are, know what your numbers are telling you, don't ignore them. But in the assessment of where you are, also figure out where you want to be, both personally and professionally, your business. Number one, your business has to mirror your values, all right, and where you want to go. Otherwise, you're going to go into an empty pit, a black hole. So that's the first thing we do is we look at where you've been and we establish that gap of where you are and where you want to be. You must know that gap because then you start building the bridge and it's little by little. Everybody thinks there's a magic bullet. There's not. Second step, develop goals or benchmarks or targets. I like the word target because it's a positive word. Okay. And you'll need help with this unless you're good at numbers, okay? But it's not a complicated process because we figured out a way to make it very easy. We go, how many leads did you get last year? What's your target for this year? Then during the year, we measure your actual and just the forecast to figure out where your cash will end up. So the second step is establishing those targets. Everybody makes that which they don't understand very complicated. We could do it in about an hour the first time. Once you understand it, which is about the third time, and we meet with you monthly, it's like, oh, you already know what I'm going to ask you. The third is the dashboard. You don't have time to look at all these numbers. So we have 8 metrics that worked through my history of dealing with thousands of businesses. And I mean that literally because I was a CPA and I got exposed to lots of businesses. But there are, in every business, even nonprofits, they call it different vocabulary, but there are 8 leading indicators of where you're going to end up. And all you got to do is have them flash red, green, and yellow. If it's red, you got to do something about it within the next 30 to 90 days. If it's green, do it. If it's yellow, it's a problem waiting to be happen. However, if you're all green, then it means you're not setting your targets high enough. So that's step 3. Step 4 is when you have those reds and yellows, only pick 3 things to work on at the maximum, the 3 fastest things to generate cash flow, not profit, not top line growth, cash flow now. Now, once you've got that under control, what's the long-term 5-year, 3-year plan, whatever your time horizon is, what's it look like? And that's where the magic of compounding happens. You could see in our charts that if you just increase your leads like about 3% a year in certain businesses, of course, every business is a little different as to which is the key driver. But like we took one business and we increased the number of leads 3% a year and turned it from a $3 million business to a $9 million business. Holding everything else equal, the owner's pay went from about 100 grand to 430 grand. And their net profit, the cash, forget net profit, the cash left in their business went from 200,000 to 1.7 million. One change. But that's because everything else was being held constant. Now, if you had price increases or better customer retention or better lead generation, it gets even better. So it's little things over time compound to huge things instead of saying, I need a magic bullet. I'm going to grow this business from 1 million to a billion in the next 18 months. That doesn't happen. Just doesn't. So that's kind of my take on it. And it's a simple process once you understand it. And it doesn't take that long to learn.
Yeah, I know you showed me your dashboard and I was so blown away. It really, numbers don't have to be complicated. We do make them complicated because most of us are, that's not our superpower, but you've made them so simple. And I think when we really understand what we're dealing with and the intricacies of our business, we make better decisions.
Well, you're making decisions based on numbers, which is the way a CEO makes decisions versus your gut and instinct. And we all know that when we work on that, our emotions get highly involved.
That's true.
And that's when you start making the big mistakes, where you start throwing the Hail Marys to save your business, or you focus on a tactic instead of looking at the big picture and how they all, how all these eight variables interweave with each other. Like, you want more leads, but that costs money. That affects your cash flow. And so you look up and down the funnel, or you want to increase the price of your product. Well, that may mean you need a higher quality. That means your variable costs go up. And that intricacy, that's the magic power I have, is saying, if you do this, it's going to affect this. And that's where people go wrong. They just focus on a shiny object.
And or they're letting fear infuse into that goal or that vision, because you look at, do I have the money to do this, rather than, can I afford not to do this? Because this is not going to get me where I want to go.
Or go one step further, Melanie. If you don't have the money, how do you generate the money?
Yes. Right. Let's talk about that. I actually did a whole episode on this 2 years ago, because I think this in itself is a huge area where most of us can grow and expand our ability to run a successful business. And man, you've got a lot of background here. So how does someone come up with cash flow when they don't have it to invest in their growth?
Ooh, that's a really tricky question. You asked me before the interview about things that went bad for me.
Okay.
So you brought it up again. So when we owned Strauss Homes, my partner was Steve Strauss, and literally one night we had dinner and I got a call 3 o'clock in the morning and he had died. But that's not the story. The story is, when we started, he was a builder and he was really good, and he was a client of my CPA firm. And we just came out of the recession from 1986 to 92. And he asked me if I'd help him start his business again. And he was a very honorable guy and a great person and everything. So I said, yeah. Thinking that he had all this construction experience, I let him run everything except the finances. And before we knew it, we were upside down $1 million. And what that means is we owed $1 million more than we had. And we were playing a shell game with our money. Nobody knew it, but we knew it internally. And it got really dark. I mean, when your business isn't doing well, life gets really dark. And all those things I talked about, the struggle is real. We know it. And if you own a business, you've been there sooner or later. And so you're upside down $1 million. Well, the first thing we did, and Melanie, you'll love this, we found out our messaging was wrong and our product offering was wrong. That was the first thing I figured. And that's where I started coming up with, financial statements are misleading me. It's when I owned my own business and it was pretty big. And so we started looking at everything and saying, okay, we are in a mess. Now, there's a lot of ways out of the mess, but you've got to make it based on a factual decision. So we did projections and we said, we played the what if game with numbers, which I'm good at. And I was back then. And we played that what if game. We said, if we do this, how's that affect this? And when will the cash come back? And how will we get it? And based on our modeling, in fact, I'm doing that with a client. I was doing it at 9 o'clock this morning. How do we structure what they call the capital structure? How do we get that set so that the debt, the equity, and the cash flow are all balancing to turn into a machine where sooner or later operations will retire the investment money and the debt money? So there's no one answer to that question. There really isn't. But a lot of people, they do the Hail Mary with their credit cards. And then the other thing is, there's something called the three Fs of funding: family, friends, and fools. And most of us go there to our family, our friends, and fools that will invest with us. And they don't have a good plan. So it really comes down to one thing, is you got to mathematically, And when I say mathematically, I'm talking about addition, subtraction, multiplication, even division doesn't fall into this one. And figure out how many units you're going to sell, what's the average price, when will the money come in, which most people forget about. Selling and collecting money are two different things. When's the money going out? How do you balance it, and how do you fund it? With banks, equipment financing, receivable factoring or financing, investors. I mean, there's a myriad of ways. And internally, how do you fund it? So I didn't quite answer it, but I did. Is if you're not looking into the future, there's no way to get out of the mess you're in today. None.
That is very true. I've been there in those dark times. And
All of us have. I haven't met anybody who's had a home run right from the beginning.
And I think if you understand that, it gives you that confidence to take those leaps of faith and make those bold moves when you're feeling very alone and feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, I must be the greatest failure on this planet. And I really appreciate you sharing about your authentic journey, because I think more of us need to share that it's not all peaches and roses. Like, there's definitely tough times, but it's the tools we have, the tools and the resources that we tap into that can make or break us. And I know you've put a book out on how to make more money. Can you share really quickly what the book's about? And we'll share the link where everybody can go get their copy of your book.
Cool. First of all, the book is entitled, I'm actually pulling up the link for you now. The book is entitled
Make More Money, The Business Owner's Five-Step Plan.
Yeah. It's just I'm looking for the link.
I actually have your link. Don't worry
about
it. Oh,
okay. Okay.
I got you covered.
Okay. So what we do is in the very end, we talk about the five-step process that I talked about. But we tell you in that book, we lay the groundwork for running a successful business in the first two or three chapters. In chapter four, I believe it is, we tell you exactly what to focus on, and we give you at least, I think there's 40 things you could do today, where it's not a sales book. At the end, we tell you how to get in touch with us, but there are real valuable tips on how to run your business better. So that's available to you for free, because our goal is to help 10,000 businesses make more money. Mm-hmm. And that really and truly is our primary purpose. It's our mission. It's what we want to do. So that's it in a nutshell. It's a great book. It's an easy read. We wrote it so you could read it in under an hour, big print, and we get right to the bottom line. There's, you know, laying the groundwork takes a little bit of time. We talk about why financial statements are misleading, things that you're doing, and then we get into really here's how to fix it. So thanks for plugging my book, Madeline.
You're welcome. Well, I've just been so impressed. And let me give the link. It's thecfoproject.com/moneybook. We will link that up in the show notes for you. I highly recommend getting a copy of the book. I talk to a lot of people, and I get the great honor to meet some of the most amazing business minds on this planet. And I got to tell you, I learned so much from you, Jeff, in just a few short minutes. And you and I are very aligned with this planning. You know, I've told you that we've been teaching something like that, very similar. But you guys have gone to such a deep level. And it's so it's such a great resource set that you have for people. I know starting with the book is probably the smartest thing, thecfoproject.com/moneybook. I want to give inspiration to our Amplify community today. Something that I really want you to reflect on for a minute and decide, like make a decision today. Are you going to shift your money story in the next 12 months? Are you committed to it? That means if you are saying yes, if you're committed to it, not just interested, but you're really committed to it, you actually have to learn some new skills. Because if you could do it on your own, you already would have. And we have to invite in people who are masterful at this side of the equation. So I highly recommend you get the book. Start there. Check out Jeff's resources. Jeff, I always like to end our conversations because I know that someone who has had as much business experience as you and has had as many wins, you've also had some challenging times, but you also have had several moments, and maybe there's one in particular, where you needed courage to take a bold action or make a bold leap. What would that be for you?
Well, the biggest action, I just saw something else for an answer. The biggest leap I made, I was the vice president of finance for a real estate syndication firm. And I mean, I couldn't go any higher up. And the biggest leap was I can't work for somebody anymore. And it was kind of traumatic. And it's actually a funny story in hindsight, but I came home to my wife one day and I said, I've had it. I've got to go out on my own. And I go, I don't even care if I go broke. I got to go out on my own and give it a shot. And she goes, well, I'm 5 months pregnant. This is with our third child. Please, let's wait till the child is born. We didn't know the sex. The child is born before you quit. So our son Eric was born. He was healthy. And 5 days later, I gave my 2 weeks notice and I went into business for myself. So that was the biggest leap I've ever made. In hindsight, it's probably dumb to do, but it worked out. But everything I'm telling you to do, and I literally had done my projections. That's a fancy word, by the way, for guessing what your company's going to look like in the future. A projection is nothing more than an educated guess. But here's what's really funny. In my third month of business, I had netted more money than I did as vice president of finance for a real estate syndication firm. But it was that leap. It was just, I was on the high diving board. It's 30 feet down. I'm talking about the super high platform. And you jump. And you've never jumped before. And you're just hoping to hell your legs are held together.
Yeah. Well, with someone who has as much wisdom as you do, Jeff, I want to just end with, you know, if there's one thing that you could tell your younger self, that man who took that bold leap and started his own business or, you know, partnered with one of those companies in one of those dark moments, what would you tell that person back then that you now know that's helped you so much?
Which is what I've been telling your listeners, Melanie, is get a guide, get somebody who's been there, done that. I've been very lucky that I've had very skilled partners who have done it before they were my partners. I've gotten some great help, but I got to be a little frank with you. In the beginning, I didn't know that was acceptable behavior. And asking for help was not something that came natural to me. It was a struggle to say, I don't know everything, especially when I'm a big fancy CPA and I've got this credential and it wasn't worth a urine hole in the snow in running my business. But getting help, get a guide, get somebody. You can't do it alone. You can't. I've not seen anybody do it on their own. So get guides, whether they're your partners, they're your consultants, they're people who've been there. I'm not talking about people who are going to say, hey, I know you're going to figure it out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who say, did you try this? Did you do this? How about doing this? And can open up more avenues to you than you have open right now. And, well, and that would be my advice to the younger Jeff is, don't be so afraid of asking for help.
Well said. That is so true. The right help can actually accelerate your path to your outcome And that's what I think most of us would prefer. How do we make less mistakes and get there faster? Jeff, thank you so much. Again, you can get Jeff's book at thecfoproject.com/moneybook. And I can't wait to hear your insights, your breakthroughs, you know, the aha moments from today's episode. Give us a shout out on social media. Tell us what it is you loved. You can head over to the show page. You can leave us a review, but tell us what the big aha was from today. All right, everybody. See you next week for another episode of Amplify Your Success podcast. This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success podcast.